This train is bound for glory. If you ride, you must be holy. And He makes us holy. Hallelujah. So you got to turn to the Lord. Amen. Trust in Him. Hallelujah. There's salvation and none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God's going to have a people. He's going to have a bride, a church that's ready. He's preparing us for eternity. Hallelujah. Good things are on the horizon. Hallelujah. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That means me. I'm a creature. Part of the creation, right? I know that's not what you were thinking, but that's what I'm saying. So, hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for everything. We give You thanks. We give You praise today. This is the day You've given us, Lord. We know where life comes from. It doesn't come from this world, but it comes from You. And all souls belong to You. Yes, and You have appointed a day in which You shall judge the world in righteousness, because You, Lord, have been ordained to do so. And the proof is that You have risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And You are ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we know from thence You shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in You, Lord. We believe in Your word. Your promises are true. And we know, Lord, that You will be glorified in all the earth. Hallelujah. And every knee will bow to You. Every tongue will confess in heaven and on the earth and under the earth as well, that Jesus Christ is Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will confess Him now. Amen. We bow now. Hallelujah. And to those who humble themselves, God will exalt them. Amen. But He doesn't give His grace to the proud. Oh, bless the Lord. So, thank you for coming today. Amen. I don't know about you, but this morning that bed felt really good. It was raining outside and it was kind of like, man, Jesus had to remind me that I was a pastor, so I had to come. Yeah. You got to get up. Yeah. All right. I look forward to our gatherings, our time together. We know why we're here, right? Hallelujah. Jesus is our honored guest. He's the center. He's the one to whom all praise is due. Hallelujah. We are His servants, but God has allowed us to partner with Him, to be a part of what He's doing. Amen. That He may have preeminence in everything. Glory to God in the highest. Well, guys, I'm here to declare war on unbelief. We must declare war on unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to believe God. We're not going to listen to the naysayers. We're not going to listen to the evil report of the media. We're going to believe God. Amen. God has good things in store for those who believe, those who trust. Hallelujah. How many know that God can turn any situation around for good? He can make anything bitter sweet. Hallelujah. Right? I do believe. And those who believe will see. Hallelujah. There's two things that God is doing with us. Number one, He is teaching us how to trust Him. Number two, He is moving us to a place where He can trust us. He has to bring us to a place where we become user-friendly in His hands. And that means we have to get over ourselves in order to do that. We have to be submitted to Him. Amen. So the title of the message today is Declaring War on Unbelief. And in order for this to happen, our faith must first be tested. And I just want to remind you once again from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. This is why Israel was brought into the wilderness and not immediately into the land. Because it says here, He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Right, man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. So God wanted to teach Israel His ways so that they would learn to trust Him, to know that He was trustworthy. So He brought them into a time of great testing. Now, guys, what you and I believe about God is vitally important. What we believe to be true about God is vitally important. The problem with many of us, and including myself, is that sometimes we have an obscured or tainted view of who God is. And because of that, sometimes it lends itself to unbelief. If we don't believe that God is trustworthy, then we won't trust Him. And we won't know that He's trustworthy until we are tested in our faith, so that through that God can prove to us that He can be trusted. Because not only does God want us to trust Him, but He wants to bring us to the place where we can be trusted by God as well. He wants vessels, amen, that He can entrust the greater riches of the kingdom to. He wants to download and give you, amen, a greater anointing, a greater influence. But He needs to know, first of all, that you can be trusted with that. Amen. And we can't make this about ourselves, because God will not give His grace to the proud, all right? To those who are self-centered, God's not going to pour out His Spirit. But to the poor in spirit, to the ones that are needy and recognizing their need of God, then He will have a vessel that He can pour into, amen? Because they're not going to run off and make it about them. But they'll understand the source of their life is the Lord. And if there's any victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Exodus 34, remember, God appeared to Moses on the mountain. And Moses was hiding between two rocks in the cleft of the rock. And God's hand was covering him, because His goodness was so overwhelming that God literally had to cover Moses, because he would not be able to handle the glory of God, the full glory of God. So God gave him a glimpse of Himself, of His glory. And God revealed to Himself for the first time in Scripture. He spoke about Himself the first time in Scripture in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, hear it, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So not only do we need to recognize God as being merciful and gracious and very patient, long-suffering, right? He's good, He's forgiving, but He's also a God of righteousness and justice. And we need to see the goodness of God first, amen, but we also need to recognize the righteousness and the holiness of God. And therefore, in Romans 11:22, it says, therefore, consider the goodness and what? Severity of God. So when we preach the Word of God, we need to be preaching the full counsel and present to people who God really is. We need to know who God really is. Amen? Not a God that we fashion in our own imagination that would suit us, but who God is. He does not change. He does not conform to our own imagination. How many know that's true? He is God. Amen? And we are not. And so what needs to happen is we need to be changed. We need to be conformed into His image. But instead, man becomes idolatrous in that he tries to make God out to be who he wants Him to be, based upon his own imagination. So we must come to know who God really is, because in doing so, we indeed learn that He's faithful and true. Remember in Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take His yoke means to submit to His will, to turn control over to Him. And learn from me, it means as we submit to His will, He will then teach us how to walk in His ways. You see, the Lord's not going to teach a stubborn child. All right? He's going to teach those who humble themselves and submit themselves and are willing to be taught of the Lord. are willing to listen to the counsel of God, are willing to obey the voice of God. Those are the ones that he will entreat and entrust his word to. Amen. And he will also increase your capacity of understanding as you prove to be faithful in what you've already received. Sometimes we approach God with our list of what we want, but are we willing to receive everything he wants to teach us? Do we have a teachable spirit? Are we humble enough to say, Lord, you're always right, and I need to conform to your word and not the other way around? So this passage in Isaiah 61:3 tells us that this is what Jesus came to do. All right? He said, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Do you see the opposites? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So this is referring to the millennial reign, the time when Jesus establishes his rule over the earth from Jerusalem. But it also has application to us today in the Holy Spirit. God does comfort us today. God does give us beauty for ashes. Amen. He gives us his joy, a heart of praise in the place of heaviness. Now, when you think of ashes, you think about how they would heap ashes on their head as either a sign of grief or of true repentance, when they realized that they had sinned against God. And it was an act of repentance to put ashes on their head. Amen. And God says for the repentant, for those who come to a realization that they are sinful, that they're separated, that they're in trouble. Amen. But they're willing to be responsible for themselves and do what's right in the sight of the Lord by coming to him and calling upon him for mercy, asking him for help. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen. And he will give that person beauty in place of the ashes. God can turn anything ugly into beautiful. Can you say amen? That word heaviness, he'll give us what? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It means faint, feeble, or weak. Or it could mean oppressed. So God will take an oppressed person, okay, who is beaten down by this world, all right, and he can lift them up out of that and put upon them his spirit, amen, that garment is his spirit, and give them a heart of praise instead. In other words, he is the burden bearer, and he wants to take the heavy burden off his people. And he will do so to those who are willing to come to him and trust him, and to cast all their cares upon him, to delight themselves in the Lord even. God wants to deliver those who are oppressed. God wants us to have heaven in our hearts. This is what the Lord wants for us, guys. God's desire is that we would be full of joy. God's desire is that we be happy in him. The devil is a joy stealer, isn't he? He's a thief. He wants us to be pessimistic and gloomy and hopeless. God wants us to have life, and life abundantly, amen, more abundantly, a full life, a happy life. How many want your children to be happy? How much more your Heavenly Father, amen, wants us, his people, to be happy, to be joyful? And in order for us to have his joy and peace, we're going to have to declare war on unbelief. We're going to have to deal with this thing that the enemy tries to throw on us. We need to quit listening to the lies of Satan. Somebody say amen. Because he's just trying to get our attention. Again, he's a narcissist. He loves to be the center of attention. Look at me, look at me. Our joy and our peace is found in the Lord. It's not determined, hear me, by external circumstances, but by the presence of the Lord in our inner man. If you have Christ, you have peace. If you have Christ, you have joy. If you have Christ, you have love already. It's a matter of faith in what God has said, what He has promised. And that's why we must resist the temptation to doubt that we have what God says we have already in Christ. Because the enemy's trying to play with your head. And he's trying to get you to listen to the evil report. He's trying to get you to tune in, if you will, to Satan's frequency. And get you out of heaven's frequency. We're supposed to place our affections on things above. Amen. We're supposed to be thinking about the Lord. Keep the Lord at the center of our lives. Hallelujah. And be very careful what we listen to. What we entertain. When we are in unbelief, guys, we're worried. We're fearful. We're negative. And we're often hopeless when we're in unbelief. Every wrong choice, this is the good news. Every negative experience, every negative word that's been spoken against us, Jesus has already dealt with at the cross. Jesus has paid in full for every sin, every transgression, every failure. It doesn't matter what it is. God has already taken care of it. You don't have to drag that ball and chain around with you anymore. God wants you to be free, amen, from your past. Free from the guilt and the shame of all the wrong choices you've made. It's called sin. God wants us to experience the joy of salvation. To have a clear conscience. A new heart, hallelujah, and a new beginning. And we don't have to think on or dwell on what was. Amen? We need to live in what is now. The new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God wants to give you and I beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Guys, every negativity is what is killing relationships. Negativity is what's killing families and businesses and churches and even this nation. We must take a stand against negative things, negative thinking and negative speech. Because we are to be hopeful and joyful in the Lord, how often? Always. So if I'm lending myself to gloominess, pessimism, and hopelessness, amen, I'm actually aligning myself with the devil and what he wants. He's a thief. I have to make a determined effort that I'm going to wage a good war against what? Unbelief. Against negativity. And not allow it to control me. Guys, it's very easy to get caught up in negativity because what we're hearing all the time is negative. All right? Are you hearing me? It's awful out there. It's ugly. It's hopeless. That's the message the devil wants people to believe. Because in doing so, he can destroy them without firing a single shot. In the sense that he's going to have people agree with him and they're already defeated. Amen? Once we start aligning ourselves with hell and listening to the wrong voice, all of a sudden that fruit begins to manifest in our life. Oh, gloom, despair, and misery on me. You know where I'm going. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. Come on. We don't have anything to be sorrowful about. We look forward, amen, to the day when Jesus returns. Hallelujah. This is not going on forever, guys. The devil thinks he's got it wrapped up. He thinks he's got everybody where he wants them to be. But God is the one who will determine, amen, how far he'll let them off on that leash. Amen. He's got them on a short chain. How many know that God's sovereign over all the earth? He raises up kings and brings kings down. He raises up kingdoms and brings kingdoms down. It's up to God, amen. But if we, his people, we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and call upon him, amen, turn from our wicked ways, then God will do what? He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. I believe that people are waking up in America, amen. God's people are finally saying, hey, I've been asleep. What's going on? How did this all happen? How did we get here? It's time we better get right with God, amen, and call on him. Perhaps God will grant us mercy and his grace, and turn this thing around. How many know that God can turn it around on a dime? He can do it. He can flip this thing over. Amen? He can turn it from tails to heads. Hallelujah. God knows how to turn every negative into a positive, or every bitter to sweet. He wants you and I to experience, in place of the mourning, His joy. In place, amen, of the sorrow and the repentance, beauty. In place of the heaviness, a garment of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was a song we used to sing years ago called Put on the Garment of Praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Come glorify the Lord. Something like that. It says to put on, oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Who we're going to believe, who we're going to listen to, what we're going to entertain. How many know that narrow is the way that leads to life and there's few that find it? And so also, when it comes to hearing the truth and hearing the word, sometimes, guys, it's scarce. It's hard to find sometimes in our land today. But it's like precious gold, amen? You search it out. Search out the truth. God, I'm hearing all these voices. I'm hearing all this negativity around me. But Lord, I need to hear from you. What are you saying? That's what I'm going to believe. That's what I'm going to stand on. I'm going to stand on the truth. I'm going to listen to what God is saying. How many know that God is not gloomy? He's not negative. He's not pessimistic. Amen? In His presence is fullness of joy. Proverbs 4:23. I want us to move right into this because, guys, this is so important. Hear it. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The most important part of us is our heart. So we need to guard our heart. How do you guard your heart? Guys, you guard your heart by guarding what you take in, what you listen to, what you look at, and what you say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. You want good fruit? Speak good things. Amen. Speak truth. Speak truth to lies. Speak blessing to cursing. Do the opposite of what the devil's doing. But guard your ear gate. Be careful of what you're listening to. What's the message that you entertain in your mind? Is it of God or is it from the devil? Listen to the words of King David here in Psalms 101, verse 2. He said, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. Say every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me as a, speaking as a king. Jesus said that which comes out of the mouth of man is what defiles him. Remember in Matthew 15:11? It's not what goes into the mouth. It's not about foods, right? That defiles a man. But what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. So guys, if we sit and we listen to defiled speech and we're listening to the wrong message, then we can be defiled by it. If you speak that which is in agreement with the devil, well, what the devil is saying, you can defile yourself and those who listen to you. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was the 10 spies that spoke that which was contrary to the promise of God. And that had caused many others to stumble due to unbelief. Guys, I believe what we're seeing right now in the media, what we're hearing, much of what we're hearing, and this is why we need to guard ourselves against what we're listening to, Find out what God is saying, men. How many know it's important to spend time in God's Word? Be in prayer and be listening to what God is saying. Because what we're getting is the negative, the evil report, rather than the report that God wants to redeem, that God wants to heal, that God wants to restore, that God wants to return America, amen, back to Him, hallelujah, and God wants to bless America and make America great again, come on. That's not a political statement, that's what God wants to do. God wants to drain the swamp. God wants to bring justice to America. Amen? And so God has called you and I as His royal priesthood, His people, to stand in the gap. Amen? And call heaven in. Hallelujah. Amen? And we can't be calling heaven in if our minds are in the gutter. So we got to be careful what we're listening to, what we're looking at, and what we're saying. Very important. Because it can determine the course of your life. The reason why many people are shipwrecked is because they align themselves with the wrong voice. Remember in Numbers 14:38, it says, of the 12 who had gone in to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. And guys, what I get out of this is that a majority are often going to be in opposition of what God wants, even in the church often. We have to be careful, even in the church, that we're not just going along with something because it's popular. Because other people are doing it. And sometimes we're just parroting what other people are saying, but not getting a confirmation in our own spirit from the Lord, amen, based upon truth, but because it seemed like a good idea. Besides, Brother Joe's doing it, so can't be all that bad. You know, even a lot of the cheap grace gospel today, a lot of that's full of holes, isn't it? The grace of God is not cheap. Amen? Our salvation came at the highest cost. Jesus paid the greatest price for our redemption. Amen? We should never, ever allow ourselves any longer to presumptuously go back in to sin and do the things that grieve the heart of God that was the cause of Jesus having to come in the form of a man and dying a brutal death on the cross. We don't want to live any longer, amen, according to the ways that we used to live. But when we're repentant, we come out of that life. We come out of that, amen? And now we'd give ourselves to God to live for Him, to honor His name, to glorify the Lord. And as an act of appreciation, we say, Lord, I give You my body. I give You my service. I'm committing myself back to You. What can I do for You now? You've done so much for me. What can I do for You now? Only Joshua and Caleb remained out of the 12. They came back and they poisoned the people. Only the 2 out of the 10 believed and entered into the promise. But because of the 2, think about it, because 2 did stand, because 2 did believe, because 2 did stand in faith based upon what God had promised, the next generation was saved. And God wants you and I to be the ones, the Joshuas and the Calebs, who will stand in the gap and say, we refuse to bow down to the pessimism, the negativity, the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. We're going to be hopeful and joyful in our King. Hallelujah. And we're going to declare the praises of the One who brought us out of darkness and has brought us into His marvelous light. We give God the glory. We give God the praise. Amen. And we should be the most hopeful people on the planet. Amen. When we're around, people say, what's the secret? Why are you so joyful? Why are you so optimistic? They say, because I've got Jesus in my life. And if I have Jesus in me, I have everything that I could ever want or dream. Amen. Everything is going to be just fine. Hallelujah. Even to die is a blessing. Amen. Because I know where I'm going to go. Amen. It's going to be a promotion. Hallelujah. So we're not going to live in our lives in fear. You know, today what's happening is some people, as I heard it said recently from a brother in here even, are so afraid of dying that they've quit living. Isn't that true? Guys, we need to live. Get out of the fear. Get out of that place of worry and fear. Get into the place of confident assurance, of faith in God, And if God has promised you abundant life, amen, live your life to the fullest. Bear fruit. Come on. If God doesn't want his people living in a shell, the world is coming out of the closet, you know. How many know it's time for the church to come out of the closet? And the church is coming out of the closet, by the way. People are waking up. What just happened? Well, listen to what Jesus said. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. Right? For out of the abundance of the heart, what? His mouth speaks. You and I have a choice to align ourselves with heaven or hell. Speak truth. Speak blessings. Let us stand in faith for our nation and quit listening to all the lies of the enemy. How many know the enemy wants people to give up the fight, to give in? But God says to stand your ground. Stand strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put your confidence in your God, for God is able to do anything, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen? All things are possible. Not just some. All things are possible to them that believe. So we've got to declare a war on anything that contradicts what God's heart or desire is for us. And don't align yourself with it. Don't give into that. Don't repeat stuff that the enemy is saying. Because by doing so, we end up defiling others and discouraging others around us. Guys, you know the Lord spanks me often too. I'm going to have an altar call after this, and I'm going to go to the altar. So you can join me if you like. I pray every day. I get down and I pray. I say, God, give me grace. Give me strength. Give me help. Hallelujah. And I'm praying for y'all too. Hallelujah. Lord, save them. Lord, get a hold of them. But you know, we love each other, so we speak the truth in love, don't we? People that love you speak the truth to you. It's funny how many people today, they don't want to be confused by the facts. They just want to plug their ears. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me the truth. I'll just beat my drum instead. Drown you out. I mean, no, you're not going to have peace through a drum. You can drum your way into oblivion, amen? And you're not going to have peace through a drum, I'm sorry. Drums don't bring peace. Only Jesus Christ is our peace. If you and I are in Christ, we already have all the qualities God looks for. These qualities are the fruit of His Holy Spirit. So God expects us to release by faith that which is already in us by His Spirit. We are expected to bring forth the good treasure out of our hearts. The good man brings forth the good treasure. We have a choice. Any of us here can speak in agreement with hell, amen? But God wants us to speak in agreement with what He's saying. How many know that the world needs hope right now? Amen. People are looking for answers. They're looking for some kind of anchor for their lives, some kind of stability. Amen. And we know the answer is Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can really give us stability in our lives. Even the people that are good actors and they fake really well, inside they're just cowering, amen, in fear, because they don't know what's going to happen next. But they act pretty good, and they're able to impress a lot and make people think that they've got it all together. But how many know that only the Lord can bring true internal stability? And if you are internally stable, you will be externally stable as well. God wants us to focus on that which is good, that which is true, that which is lovely, that which is of a good report. Philippians 4:8. So listen, guys. It's a good heart that produces a good life. That's why we've got to guard our hearts, protect our hearts. And amen, we need to feed our faith, the truth. Because Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continuous feast. So when we're pessimistic, if we're hopeless, if we're fearful, if we're faithless, we're not operating from God's heart, but we're operating in a heart that's in line with hell. Amen? God wants his people to rejoice in hope, to be joyful always, and in all things to give God thanks. Amen? This is his will for us. We should be rejoicing, amen, and not becoming gloomy and pessimistic and negative. Amen. That's what the enemy wants. He wants God's people to become discouraged. But remember, God is not in the discouragement. Amen. The devil is. God wants us, his people, to be encouraged in faith in him and what he's promised, that he will be with us. Amen. And if we have to go through the water, he says, I'm going to be with you. Amen. Through the waters. And through the rivers are not going to overflow you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God is faithful to his people, his church. We need to turn this thing around and get out of that funk that the world is trying to heap on you. You know, the world is trying to slime everybody right now, and they're doing a pretty good job at it. A lot of people are becoming, you know, they're losing their minds, they're becoming hopeless. Drug and alcohol addictions on the rise. Like, should I go on? No. The devil's hoping to sow fear and unbelief through the evil reports coming from the media. But God doesn't want you and I to lose our confidence in him. But to press on in our faith and to believe him to accomplish that which is humanly impossible. What does God want for us? He wants us to believe to the saving of our family. He wants us to believe to the saving of our neighborhood, to the saving of our nation. God wants his people to trust and believe in him who is able to do all things. He's sovereign God over all. Amen. We need to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation. We are his royal priesthood. We are, amen, to pray and pray for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done in America. Hallelujah. And God can get a hold of any politician. God can change any heart. Amen. God can do it. Hallelujah. He did it for us, right? He can do it. We need to believe. Someone needs to stand in the gap. Somebody needs to stand up like a Joshua and Caleb and say, we're not going to listen to the evil report. We're not going to throw the towel in. We're not going to give up on this fight. We're going to fight the good fight. Amen. We're digging our heels in. Hallelujah. And we're standing on the word of God, on the truth, and know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to his mighty power at work within us. Hallelujah. And we can have heaven in our hearts. I don't care how much hell is going on around us. God wants us to have heaven in our hearts. He wants us to be joyful in hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. How about the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love and joy and peace. I don't see pessimism, negativity. In Hebrews 10 and 35, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Verse 36, endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Those who receive the promises of God are those who do not quit, those who do not give up, those who stand, amen, and fight for their freedom. Hallelujah. Fight for their freedom from the devil and his lies. Come on. Fight for their freedom from unbelief. I don't want to be caught up in that unbelief. And I don't want to be aligning myself with what the enemy is saying. And even too many Christians today are already getting on the bandwagon of what everybody else seems to be saying around them. And how many know there was only 2 out of 10 that said, you know what? We're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to stand on the truth. The promises of God are faithful. Amen. What God says he means, we're not going, I don't care, though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. You know what? Gideon didn't need a whole lot of people. God reduced from tens of thousands down to what? 300. To do what he needed to do. So God can use a remnant to accomplish mighty things. Hallelujah. One could put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. You and I are in a position, amen, to be used of God, to effect change, amen, in our world where we find ourselves. Don't underestimate the ability of your God, what he can accomplish. If we are in faith and believing, we will overcome. Hallelujah. And we will see America turned around. I believe for America, amen, that we're going to save our republic. I'm standing in the gap. Hallelujah. I'm not bowing down to the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not bowing down to the lies of the devil who wants to mess with your head and get you to give in and give up and just accept slavery. God came for freedom. God's will is that we be in liberty. That was America, a man founded on Christian principles, liberty and justice for what? All. Hallelujah. Not tyranny, but liberty and justice. We, the people of the United States. You can't manufacture true joy or peace and love. Amen. It's the fruit of God. One thing, guys, I've said it many times, but one thing you can't change is your heart. Only God can change your heart. But when our hearts are right with God, then our outlook on life will be right. Guard your heart with all diligence. When your heart is right with God, then your outlook on life will be right. You see, it's a good heart that produces a good life. Not a good life that makes a good heart. Well, I'll be happy if all these things are in place. Comforts, joy, bank account. New car. How many people have gone out and bought a new car? Take it down the road and boom, something happens. It crashed the car right away. Have you ever had that happen? I've heard of many people that's happened. Oh, when you get out there, you don't want to put a scratch on that thing, man. You're going to be out there polishing and shining that thing. Get about halfway down the block and boom, somebody takes it out right away. Well, so much for that. My joy was not based upon that. If it was, then I'm going to be disappointed, right? Do you understand? Sometimes, guys, without realizing it, we are putting so much clout in temporary things. We're putting so much faith and confidence in temporary things. And we're not even going to realize that until maybe those temporary things aren't there. I think God is waking up America. He's humbling America, but God wants to exalt America. And I believe God is able to restore America. Amen. And God is able to turn everything around in this nation once again. If my people, if you and I are doing the right thing. Amen. And remember, once again, guys, it's not just because we have everything we want in this world that we're going to have a good heart. How many of you can have all the toys and go to hell? There are people that have all the riches and all the things this world offers them, but they don't have any riches towards God. They don't have an inheritance in heaven. They put all their eggs in this worldly basket. They put all their, you know, all their investments, all their life, all their energy, all their time into a sinking ship. But we want to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. God knows how to keep that which we've committed unto him. When our hearts are right with God, then the way we see things, the way we perceive things will be right as well. God wants to change hearts. He wants, again, to give us beauty for ashes. He wants to restore the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, then we can please the Lord, because goodness and faithfulness flows from him. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, then we can have a positive outlook on life. Negativity and discouragement is not from the Lord. How many know that good days or bad days are not to determine your peace? Because true peace comes from God alone. That's why people on Wall Street go out and commit suicide when the market collapses. Because their peace was determined, by their wealth. That was their God, and their God failed them. Your circumstances don't make your life. Your life makes your circumstances. We're to live out of a good heart, a heart that is in unity with God, a heart that is right with God. If you have a good heart, a heart, amen, that has been cleansed, amen, and prepared by the Lord, hallelujah. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then you can live a good life regardless of what happens externally, because your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you possess. The Lord is the life, amen, in us. In Him there is joy. In Him is all the good fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Galatians 5:22. Goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and what else? Self-control. This is what the fruit of God is. Amen? So negativity, pessimism, gloominess, come on, selfishness, any of these things, amen, that's not of God. God doesn't want us living a life of gloominess and pessimism, amen? He wants us to be optimistic. He wants us to be hopeful, amen? Because our hope is not based upon how well things go externally, but based upon how things are internally. If your heart is in good condition, if you're in right standing with God, then your outlook on life will also be what? Good. That's why it says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart." If we don't give up, hallelujah. God wants you to be encouraged. God wants you to take a stand against unbelief, all right? A stand against negativity, amen? Because your hope is not in this world, but your hope is in Him, who is able to give you joy and peace and love and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's all from Him. That's what God wants for His people, amen? He wants us to be joyful in hope. He wants us to give thanks in all things. Amen. He wants us to rejoice always. And amen. In this world that is dark, I'm not receiving this message that old Jay Biden gave us about it's going to be a dark winter. Maybe for you, Joe, but not for me. I don't receive that. Amen. We have the light. We have Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Mm-hmm. Amen. And God's going to determine, by the way, who's going to be the next president. It ain't over yet. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. We're going to walk together with Him no matter what comes our way. Hallelujah. We already have life because we have Jesus. We already have joy. We already have peace. Amen. We already have love. And His love is perfect love. Amen. In His love, there's no fear. In His love, we're not worried about the future. When we're in His love, we're not fearful about anything. Hallelujah. When I find myself getting into worry or fear, I say, wait a minute, that's an illegal thought. That's an illegal attitude. Amen. And I need to repent and I need to start rejoicing in the Lord and giving Him praise and thanks for His goodness. Amen. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. We declare that. Declare the blessing of the Lord, amen, over your home, over your children, amen. The children need to see us also being hopeful, amen, and being confident in our God. It has great reward, not only in this life, but in the life to come. God will reward you for your faithfulness, because like Joshua and Caleb, you were willing to believe God against all odds, against everything that seemed to be saying contrary. Only 2% or 20%, amen, 2 out of the 10 came back, amen, said we can take it, amen. The other 10, they just went on their way and they missed out on the promise of God. How many here are going to say, I'm going to be a Joshua. I'm going to be a Caleb. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on the fact that God is sovereign. Amen. And God can turn any situation around. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bow down to the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not going to bow down to the fear that the enemy's trying to throw on everybody. What he's doing is he's paralyzing people. Amen. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's who we are. Hallelujah. So arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And there may be deep darkness on the people, but it shall not be on you. Amen? Because the Lord arises over his people. Hallelujah. And you and I in Christ are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah.